podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and let's read about that grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. If you have your Pew Bible this morning, that's on page 827 of your Pew Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We've been talking about remedies, some of the medicine that the Word of God gives us for our soul when our soul is broken and hurting. We turn to the Word of God to receive these remedies, and Scripture is full of them. And we've talked about a few things, for example, a dose of hope. For when your heart is broken and you can't see past today, God offers us hope through His Word. A fix of forgiveness for when your life is filled with bitterness because people have hurt you and you've hurt others, and you need some sort of a release and relief from that brokenness. Forgiveness, a gift from God. A spoonful of faith for those days when your problems seem so much larger than God's strength. We need faith. A shot of love. It's a super vitamin that brings peace and unity into any broken relationship, including our relationship with God Himself and our relationships with one another. And just those four virtues alone that we've already talked about provide healing and wholeness in our lives. They are important qualities for us as believers to receive from God, but not only to receive from God, but also to distribute to the rest of the world. To take it in, to soak in it, to enjoy it, to feast upon what God has given to us, but then also to dish it out to others so that they know who God is through those wonderful medicines that He gives us for our soul. So this morning we continue with the treatment of grace. And first thing we do is talk about the symptoms. What are the symptoms of a grace deficiency? One symptom is guilt. It's a nonstop guilt that we as human beings have resident within us simply because of who we are by birth and then what we've done by nature. So look here at Ephesians chapter 4, or Ephesians chapter 2 that we just read, and look at verse 1. It says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live." It's talking about the way we were before we received the grace of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul describes believers before the grace of God flows into our life. And look at how this is described in this passage. First of all, it says, you are dead in your transgressions and sins. Apart from the grace of God, you are dead, spiritually dead. You are followers of the devil and his evil ways, followers of the ways of this world, followers of what is contrary to what God would have us to do. It says we are disobedient at the end of verse 2, meaning that whenever we find something that God doesn't like, we glory in it. We enjoy it. That's who we are apart from the grace of God. It says that in verse 3 that we gratify the cravings of our flesh. So instead of seeking to please God with our lives, we seek to please ourselves. We seek to please our sin nature. It says also that we, by our actions and by our nature, we deserve the wrath of God. The end of verse 3. We were by nature deserving of wrath. We deserve the punishment of God because of the sins that we have committed. That's a picture of this nonstop guilt that is ours apart from the grace of God. We belong, instead of belonging to God, we belong to the unholy Trinity. It talks here about the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, the devil is kind of like the orchestrator of sin. He's kind of like the conductor of sin. He's in charge of it all. And the world is kind of like the symphony that's being played, where sin is encouraged and it's being played out in our world all around us. And the flesh is kind of like our inner instrument, calling out to us to join that band, to be a part of Satan's symphony, to play all of the notes of sin that he has put on the page. And the three work together to destroy us, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we willingly disobey God, taking our cue from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so we deserve the punishment that comes with that. In other words, apart from the grace of God, we are guilty. We deserve the punishment of God. We are without any excuse. So if you feel guilty in the presence of God this morning or any morning, if you think about the Lord and you feel just a sense of guilt in your heart and in your soul, well, that's symptomatic, first of all, of the fact that you are a sinner, but it's also symptomatic of a grace deficiency, that perhaps you have not received fully the grace of God in your life. But a lack of grace not only infects us with guilt, but it also creates another problem altogether, because we treat others without grace. Whenever we treat others without a spirit of grace, it also comes from our lack of grace. When we refuse to extend grace to others, we become like the Pharisees of Jesus' day, expecting everyone around us to conform to the letter of the law. We expect perfection from others when we can't even measure up to that. So another symptom of a lack of grace is nitpicky legalism. Nitpicky legalism. Scripture tells us about how we should be gracious toward one another. But if we haven't fully bathed in the grace of God and we have a grace deficiency in our own lives, tendency that we have is to be ungracious toward others. Look at Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Romans 14, 1 says, "Accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters." What it says is, be gracious toward one another. Recognize that we're not all on the same level spiritually. Recognize that we're all growing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and be gracious with one another rather than being legalists. Look what Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 says. It says, "Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence." The Apostle Paul's talking about here is he's saying, look, we need to grow spiritually in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to grow spiritually by developing a list of rules that we have put in place and not God. That God does not save us on the basis of our obedience toward Him. He saves us on the obedience of His grace toward us. So we need to be careful, first of all, that we receive the gift of God, but then also that we are willing to give out the grace of God. When we miss God's grace, we have nonstop guilt. When we refuse to extend grace to others, we become nitpicky legalists. So apart from the grace of God, we have no forgiveness. And apart from grace toward others, we show no forgiveness. How desperately we as human beings need grace. What a world this would be that we would live in apart from the grace of God. We would walk around guilty of our sin, deserving His punishment, waiting for the other shoe to drop, but then also cursing one another out, expecting perfection from others when we can't even live up to it ourselves. That would be a world without grace. Well, what are the causes of a grace deficiency? Well, one is the fact that we are just spiritually dead. Spiritual death is one of the causes. The text tells us that apart from the grace of God, we are dead in our sins, spiritually dead, separated from Him. There's absolutely nothing a spiritually dead person can do to save themselves. You cannot do anything to save yourself when you're spiritually dead, because dead is dead. And apart from grace, we're spiritually flatlined. We are separated from God without a hope and without grace. But also another cause of a grace deficiency is living unworthily. If you were to skip ahead to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So another cause of our graceless condition is the fact that we sometimes do not treat each other right. We don't treat each other right. Instead of living a life that is worthy of our calling, we live a life that is unworthy of our calling. Instead of living graciously toward others because God has shown grace to us, we live our lives ungraciously toward others, not recognizing the grace of God. So rather than focusing on what the text tells us to focus on, look at verse 2 of chapter 4. What does it look like to live a life worthy of the calling you have received? Verse 2. "Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." The saying is, in a word, grace. That's what he says. The way that you live worthily in your calling as Christians is grace, to be gracious toward one another. So rather than focusing on peace and unity, we focus on the rules and the law, and we trample on one another out of pretense of pleasing God. But the scripture tells us it's not pleasing to God at all. God's not pleased even when we obey the rules to a T if there's no grace. Think of the Pharisees of Jesus' day who got ticked off at Jesus because he healed a man on the Sabbath day. Can you see how they were living according to the letter of the law but had no grace toward this man that Jesus had just healed? There's a term for an Englishman that is somewhat of a derogatory term. Maybe you've heard it before. A limey. Have you ever heard the term limey before? You know where that term came from? In the early 19th century, the Royal Navy discovered a way to help sailors from getting scurvy. Scurvy was a disease that was predominant in sailors and in those who spent a long time on the ocean because they didn't have fresh foods. Foods were all cured and salted and, you know, dehydrated, or whatever ways they had of keeping the food pure for a long period of time, but they didn't have fruits and vegetables, and so as a result of that, they came out with this disease of scurvy. Many of them showed up with problems with their skin and with their teeth and with their energy being sapped and their immune system and all sorts of problems these sailors would experience. So somewhere in the 19th century, the Royal Navy discovered that if you put lime juice somehow into the diet of the sailor, that the vitamin C, whether they knew it was vitamin C or not, I'm not sure, but the vitamin C would get into the system of these sailors and they would be able to avoid scurvy. Very simple. You know, they put a little bit of lime juice in their grog or whatever they had and they would drink it or they would eat it, and as a result of that, it would save their lives. Now, what we know is this, that a lack of grace makes us sick as human beings. It gives us a dreadful disease that leads eventually to spiritual death. So perhaps we need to figure out exactly what grace is, exactly what grace is, so we can drink it in internally and so that we can avoid that illness? How do we get it into our diet? How do we become like Limey's Gracies with grace in our life? Grace that will propel us and heal us. So first of all, what is grace? Let's look at the description of grace at the end of verse 3. Here in chapter 2, it tells us that we are all deserving of God's wrath. We deserve God's punishment. But then it says in verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. That but at the beginning of verse 4 is a very important transition, because it says this: you were dead in your transgressions and in your sins, and you deserve the punishment that God would give you, but God loves you. God loves you. And so he has given you grace through his Son, Jesus Christ. So no longer are you dead, but now those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation are made alive in Jesus Christ. So the first description of grace is it's unearned kindness from God. Not because you deserve it, not because you're a great person, not because you've done some good things that got God's attention, not because you came to church regularly, not because you obeyed a list of rules that you set for yourself. None of that. Verse 5 tells us it is by the grace of God that you have been saved. Later on in verse 8, it says, it is grace through which you have been saved, not from yourselves. It is a gift of God so that nobody can boast. There's no boasting in the grace of God, because it is the unearned kindness that God has given to us. Grace is God's kindness to you, even though you don't deserve it, even though you didn't earn it. I think in the New Testament about Jesus, as he was hanging on the cross, we know that he was hanging between two thieves. On one side, a thief was mocking him, and on the other side, the other thief said, now stop mocking him. Don't you realize that he's done nothing wrong, that we're the thieves, we're the criminals, but he's innocent? And then that thief on the cross said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me. When you get to your kingdom, remember me, Jesus. Think about this for a moment. What had this thief done to earn Jesus remembering him ever? Think about that. This guy was a criminal. He was hanging on the cross next to Jesus. He deserved to die on the cross. He deserved nothing from God. He deserved nothing from Jesus. Jesus should have just blown him off and said, you know what? I'm not going to remember you. I have no reason to remember you. And maybe that's how we would treat someone in that situation. But instead, Jesus says, I'll see you in heaven. Not only will I remember you when I get there, I will see you there. That's grace. That's grace from our God. And each of us who come to the Lord in our spiritual death and receive him by faith are given that same grace from him, though we don't deserve it. Another way of describing grace is unmerited redemption in Christ. Unmerited redemption in Christ. Very similar to the last thing we just said, but the redemption is what's found in this passage where it says, you have gone from death spiritually to life in Christ. Verse 5 says, God raised us up. Verse 5 says, made us alive with Christ. Verse 6 says, raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ. Verse 10 says we have a new identity now. We're God's handiwork created in Jesus to do good works. We have a new identity. We have a new mission. We are God's handiwork to do his good works. God has pulled us off of the scrap heap of this world where we were rusting and decomposing and good for nothing and good for nobody. And he raised us up and recycled us and repurposed us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And now we are useful to him, to serve him and to do his will. That is the grace of God. We deserve none of it. We can claim none of the credit for it. We cannot boast in any of it. We can't tell anybody, look how smart I am that I found this. All we can do is say, thank you, Lord, for the grace that you have shown to me, because it's all about him. Look at Romans chapter 3, starting with verse 22. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What he's saying, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what your background is. We all have sinned. We all have fallen short of God's glory, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as our sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and to be the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ. What Scripture teaches us is we were dead in our sin, and God gave us a free gift through his Son, Jesus Christ. And now, we who have believed in him are alive spiritually. That is the grace of God, the redemption that we have received in Christ. So how do we apply this grace? What is the application of it? So if I'm looking at this morning, I say, you know, this grace stuff sounds awesome. I need this in my life. I need to be forgiven by God. I need my sin washed away. I need to go from spiritual death to life. But how do I take this in? How does this become mine? How do we take the treatment of grace? What we need is for God and his grace to flow through our bodies, to kill all of the traces of sin that are destroying us. So do we hook up an IV, or do we take a shot, or is there a portacath that we can flow God's grace into our bodies through? Well, no, we receive the grace of God simply by believing in him. Believing in him is what Scripture says. Trust in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So the application of God's grace is this: receiving life while deserving death. Receiving life from Jesus Christ while deserving death. That is how we receive the grace of God. Look at 1 John chapter 5. It says, whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is his testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So what's John saying? If you want to go from spiritual death to life, the only answer is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. By putting your faith in him, you received the grace of God. So the first thing you need to do, if you want to apply the grace of God to your life, the first thing you need to do is to receive that free gift of grace that God has offered everyone through his Son, Jesus Christ. Just turn from death and sin to life by putting your faith in him. You don't deserve it. You haven't earned it. You can't take credit for it. But it's there. He's offered it through his Son. So take it. So take it. Receive it. Trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. Now, I know that most of us here have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We've put our faith in him. We've received the grace of God, and we're thankful for it. And sometimes we need to be reminded of what God's grace is, and we need to be reminded of how we received it. That's all well and good, but you are saved by God's grace. But there's another application of God's grace that comes from chapter 4 and verse 1 that we looked at earlier. Live worthy of the calling you have received. And then if you skip down to chapter 4, verse 31, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. What's it saying? It's saying this, that we as believers in Jesus Christ are not just responsible for receiving the grace of God, we are responsible for dispensing love to undeserving offenders. It's not just about us not being deserving and receiving God's grace. It's about the whole world not being deserving and needing God's grace. So as a believer in Jesus Christ, it is your responsibility not just to take in the grace of God, not just to take in God's kindness and His love and His mercy, not just to take in God's great gift of going from death to life, but to dispense that, to give it to others, to allow others to live in that. So since God demonstrated grace to you when you did nothing to deserve it, you need to imitate His example by extending grace to others who may or may not deserve it. Last week at the end of our message on love, I had you close your eyes and think about someone who needed love. So just think about someone who needs love is what I said. And then I said, well, think if you were in their position, what would you want them to do for you? And now, what's stopping you from doing it for them? Go do it. Go love them. I hope that some of you took me up on that offer. I hope that some of you said, you know what, I'm going to take that seriously. I really need to love someone this week. Well, you know, if I were going to offer a similar challenge to you this week, it would be this. Find someone who does not deserve anything from you. Find someone who could never pay you back. Find someone that may consider you their enemy. Find someone like God found you when you were living in your transgressions and sins, when you were kicking against Him and doing everything you could to hurt Him and not to live in His kingdom and to do your own thing and to live in the flesh, when you were enjoying not being a part of God's family, He found you and He showed you grace. Now, can you find someone like that in your world? Someone that just doesn't like you, that just doesn't deserve anything from you. Where are they? Can you find them in your world? Now think for a moment. If God has shown grace to you in your sin and in your offensiveness to Him, can you find it in your heart to show grace, kindness, humility, gentleness, love to this person who doesn't deserve it in your life? Can you follow the example of God and not just receive His grace, but give His grace? That's what a life worthy of your calling is all about. That is extending the grace of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we don't want to be mud puddles of your grace that just sit here and wallow in your grace, receiving it, enjoying it, but remaining stagnant in it. Father, we want to be rivers of your grace. We want to receive your grace in full measure and distribute your grace in full measure. We recognize, Lord, that there is no shortage of your grace. Lord, but as quickly as we can give it out, you will continue to supply it. So, Father, we thank you that we who were once dead in our trespasses and in our sins are now made alive in Christ Jesus because of your grace. Lord, we recognize that we live in a world full of people who desperately need that grace. And if we don't show it to them, who will? So, Father, fill us with your love. Fill us with your grace. Show us the opportunities. And help us, Lord, to live graciously because we have been shown grace. And Father, I pray that if there is one here today who has not received the grace of God, one who has not fully trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, one who is still spiritually dead and who feels the full weight of the guilt of their sins upon them still today, Lord, I pray that they would know that you love them and that you have given yourself for them and that there is grace free for the taking because Jesus has provided it on the cross. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.